he put the little round object in his mouth.
When serving friends and family, you'll want to have plenty of Uncle Charlie's sausage on hand.
It was delicious.
It is easy to spot, though, isn't it?
It totally is. You can't hide it.
Don't look at my shoes. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, I'm not going to get off. I'm not going to try laughing. Hello. It's 1 minute. Stop it. Get a hold of ourselves. All right, Emerson. Buckle down and do a radio program. You can laugh later. Do all the laughing you want in detention. Hello. It's 1 minute and 45 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of January in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making this part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and soon to be vacated studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. For today and for tomorrow, we are high atop the bottom of the coin tower here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, my friends.
Think about a Starbucks in here after we leave.
Isn't there already a Starbucks in this building?
No, next building over. There is room for one in this building.
That's right. It's in that building where the Portland, what is it? The Portland skyline, Portland Towers.
It's where that person sits outside with his hand out every day. It says nothing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a person who sits on the sidewalk in front of Starbucks. Sits there every day, says nothing, but he always has his hand out.
Also, he's begging, but he's not even doing part of the work.
No, not even a sign.
You got to meet me halfway. If you want something, you can't just sit. It's not something for nothing, pal. I really can't be pleased. They make noise.
Oh, are you talking about the guy who sits out there on a suitcase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that guy.
You know that guy.
I know that guy.
I buy him coffee every now and again, but I never give him money.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he speak?
No.
He doesn't even thank you when you buy him coffee?
I think he smiled and said, I don't know if he said thanks or just kind of nodded.
Maybe he can't speak. Now we have to go find out. Scotty should go burn him with something. See what he says.
I ran into a new one yesterday downtown, helping on the Max. There's a man with a neck brace holding a sign that says, neck broken, please help. But I think that's deserving of something.
Tell him to lie down. Tell him to lie down and to relax and that he may feel a pinch.
All right.
It's 503-73, neck broken.
Neck broken,
what are you supposed to do? Neck broken, please laugh. Wow. What possible amount of pocket change do I have that could help with your snapped vertebra?
That's what I was thinking.
Did you ask him exactly what sort of help he was going to give his broken neck from, like, the $1.15 that I had in my pocket?
No, because the lady who bought a chair at some department store who carried it onto the Max was in my way, so I couldn't get in front of her or her new chair.
Somebody trying to get a whole rhinoceros home. All right. It's 503-733-2. I was walking through Southeast the other day, as I often do, taking my life in my hands.
Taking your life in your own hands.
On these mean city streets. And there was somebody, and I'm unclear about whether they'd been evicted, about whether they were just trying to enjoy the summertime air, but they wanted to have all their possessions within arm's reach because they were corpulent, or whether they were just, whether it was late enough in the year now that they were... Because, you know, some of those houses, they have like a sunroom, and it's sort of an adjunct to the house. It is sort of like an impaneled garage, or not a garage. It's like a, it's like a front room or something, but it's impaneled with glass. And so you're sort of shielded from the elements, but you can sort of enjoy the air and the whatever. And there is this sort of Southeast Portland version of this where you just put the couch on the lawn, and you just, like, fold sofa, and you and your 15 kids just drag the sofa out onto the lawn, and then you put your feet up on some sort of a Coleman cooler, and that's where you spend the rest of the day. This woman had really gone way far above and beyond the call of duty. She had taken the lawn, taken the couch out onto the lawn, and then she had the Coleman cooler, and then she had, like, a nightstand, and then she had, like, a bunch of other boxes of crap. And so it was either some sort of a yard sale, and she got about halfway through it and decided she didn't really have the motivation to label it as such. And she was just sort of hoping that I would surmise, like, that I would just put the rest together in my head. Or she'd been evicted, but again, there's no explanation.
Perhaps she was waiting for the methamphetamine lab to explode, so she had a few belongings left after half the house burnt.
Look, you don't want to go in there just yet. You might want to give that... You may want to give that a few before you walk inside. There's no explanation for that that makes any sense now, because now that I think about it. Because if she was evicted, why would she still... And she was, I mean, looked to be in the stages of getting ready to take a nap. Like, she'd have one shoe off, both socks on, but one shoe off, sort of stretched out. Which doesn't make any sense if the landlord had come by and had booted her ass out. Well, whatever. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us today, engage with us electronically with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you, you can do that as well. My friends, it is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Again, it's 503-733-2970. Rick@rickemerson.com. And she was texting somebody, too. And you can always tell when they're texting because the thumb is going like a snake in a bag. Just like a mile a minute. Not actually calling anybody. Just sort of texting somebody. Perhaps asking someone to come help move the sofa off the lawn. That's another thing that I won't give anybody money for, by the way. If you're downtown and you're asking me for money, if you have a cell phone, you get nothing. Yeah, you get bupkis. That's what you get from me. All right. Yes, Aaron. We'll get to Aaron here in a second because Sarah's mouthing the words, let's move forward.
Yeah, Aaron's funny. All right, so I guess in his NyQuil-induced haze yesterday...
Is this why we're moving forward, so you can make fun of Aaron?
No, I'm not making fun of him.
Uh-huh.
He tried to make me a bunch of sounders, and he sent them to me. They are ridiculous. And he finally wrote me an apology this morning saying, I don't know what I was thinking. Those are the worst pieces of audio I've ever heard.
What was he making you sound?
I'll forward them to you, and you can play them.
All right. All right.
Okay. Some of the, like, you know, if I need somebody to say that I don't want to talk about it.
I don't understand what we're talking about now. So maybe now would be an opportunity for him to play one of those sounders.
Yeah, he made a too soon sounder.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
All right. Why? Because he was drunk on what?
NyQuil, I guess.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
All right. 503-733-2970. Where the hell is my sounder with the... Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on the boom.
How's it going?
Fantastic. Hello, sir.
Hey.
Hi, how's it? Are you at work?
Yeah.
God bless you. God bless you for being a productive American, Aaron Durant.
That's right. Someone's got to keep the billionaire CEOs billionaires.
That's what I'm talking
about. Oh, Aaron, right. I'm sorry for making fun of your sounder. You don't sound too well.
Go ahead. It's crap.
No. Nothing. I was a little intoxicated when I got home last night, and it made me laugh.
People thought it was great, too.
Yeah.
All right, so let me just show you.
It's like 9:30 at night, and I'm lying on the couch, like three shots of NyQuil in, I'm going to bed, and I'm like, no, I promised that I'd do this.
And so
I'll
do
it now.
And so you're drunk at the computer last night creating sound effects for Sarah to use on the program for no real reason.
So he was making a two-suit because, you know.
Oh, I see. So when we make fun of something, or more likely when someone else on the program makes fun of something, that perhaps a tragedy that has just occurred.
Right.
All right. This is the too soon sounder. Let me see if I can open.
Okay.
No, hold on. I got to play this. Let's see. This is too soon. If I can open this here, my... Oh, damn it. I opened it in the damn Winamp player. All right. Well, just that was too soon. Too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
Non-sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
Too soon. Brain is gone.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
That's hilarious after like five glasses of wine.
It's kind of hilarious now. It just doesn't make any sense. Fantastic. Well done, sir.
I blame Scotty J for influencing my ability to create sounders.
You've raised the bar. You've upped the ante. All right.
What's even sadder is in a NyQuil haze, I spend hours, after creating that, I spend hours looking for bagpipes just to add more.
Let me play that one more time just to amuse myself. Wait, hold on. Let's see. I got to download it again. All right. This is the too soon sounder. So this is to be played then whenever someone...
Never.
For example, when someone were to make a James Kim joke, when someone were to make a bit of humorous observance, or about those dead guys on Mount Hood, this is what we would then you'd play this.
Let's say when Kim makes a Mount Hood comic. Go ahead and say it.
Too soon. Too soon.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
Too soon.
Brain is gone.
Okay, the best part, like all great sound effects, the hallmark of that is
the
that
comeback
it just,
at the end.
Yeah, that it just starts again for no real reason.
Maybe that's a close.
That is, it's a callback, is what it is.
Split it in half, just, you know, or never play it again.
All right, thank you.
Oh, oh no, that
matter. I don't care.
That's going into the archive.
We'll be playing that. We'll just have to wait for Tim to make some insensitive observation about some poor lad who's died of something unfortunate in the news. I'm sure we'll
have to. Yeah, and then I wanted to make the thing for Sarah when you ask inappropriate questions, but I realize that I'm not a deep voiced black man, and that's what it needs to be.
I don't understand.
Oh, like, this is CNN, that fellow.
Yeah, basically she needs James Earl Jones to pipe in whenever you ask her about a date. For her to say, for the voice to say, like, you know, Sarah has no recollection of that.
Oh, date. I see. Sort of be like, Rick Emerson has overstepped his bounds.
Sarah has no comment.
You have 10 seconds to unviolate her perimeter. Or something like that. Or like an Ed 209 kind of a voice.
Was her perimeter violated last night or something?
No,
there was
no perimeter violation.
Well, we'll find out later. There's somebody who saw Sarah on her date last night.
Oh, God.
More than one person, actually. There's at least three listeners who
is this
saw
a
you.
Six item?
It really, guess. Okay, wait.
Oh, my God.
What's a word that starts with R?
A what?
A word that starts with R. Because I want to do like what?
A rooster.
No. Because it's like, what rascally redhead was seen last night out of the town with her new beau?
No,
if you were a page six item in the New York Post, that's exactly how it would be written. You know what I mean? It would be like,
yeah, I met a few listeners last night.
It would be like, what gorgeous Gabmeister, you know, or something like that. All right. That's
engaging in ribaldry at the Olive Garden.
So we have three different listeners who saw Sarah out last night. Apparently,
are you kidding?
You're the
Oh, did you hear from them?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Oh.
Anywho, here's what we're gonna do today. How awkward was me sitting next to Taylor Swift this morning and talking about that time that I banged on the bathroom door while she was trying to urinate?
Yeah, and thanks for that, because now every KUPL person that passes me by is like, I'm going to the bathroom, Sarah. Don't knock down the door.
Oh, I know. Like, what am I gonna do? I had to tell the story.
You totally blamed it on me, didn't you?
Pretty much. Scotty J will present his top five musical acts of all time. Again, the top five musical acts from the mind of Scotty J. We answer the horrifying question, what is... Again, we answer the horrifying question... Oh, no. We answer the horrifying question, what is the worst sound in the world?
That was too soon. Too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
Wait for it.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
Too soon.
His brain is gone.
It just makes no sense at all. Lisa Goddard will join us to talk about
like Scotty's first day at school.
What it felt like, too.
Lisa Goddard will join us to talk about the 2008 election. Jim Roop will join us. We will have another exciting edition of The Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. And a story that will make you cross your legs even if you don't have testes. So there you go. That's what we got coming up today, my friend.
All right.
And I'm at one, right? I'm at 1%.
Yeah, you're at one.
All right. So there you go. So I'll be back at zero by the end of the day. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling productive. I'm feeling fine today is what I'm feeling. So we're gonna get to all of those things. I'm feeling like Sheldon the Machine Levine. And I want you to give me three leads, and I want you to make them close together, because I am going to close all of them. Fantastic. All right. There you go, sir. Hey, are you going to get me a week in Geek this week, Geek?
No, because as you heard how that great sounder sounded.
No, it's genius.
Like nothing is working at home right now. It sucks.
This is all the more reason
Aaron,
for you to...
gold.
It's
Come
gold, it really is.
That was too soon. Too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
It really is worthy of Scotty J.
He taught me everything I'd wish to forget.
If you were to put that into a lineup, I would pick that out as being a Scotty J sound effect. I mean, it really is true. So.
Is that a compliment?
Yeah, sort of. Not really.
Scotty J is
right,
a production
geek. I'll make it like a weekend in Geek, and it will be all scratchy and terrible sounding.
All right. Scotty wants you to know that your new sounder has his approval.
Yes, right. I can die happy now.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, Aaron Geek from the City of Duran, ladies and gentlemen. All right, 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
You're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning.
Yeah, I'm feeling better. I think I'm finally getting over this cold.
Oh. Just getting over the cold, huh?
A spring in her step.
A dip in her hip.
There was no hip dipping.
See, I didn't say that. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, so far, 32 have been killed on the way forward in Baghdad. Dick Cheney scowls madly at Wolf Blitzer. His taxes better be in order. This after you mentioned Dick's daughter, Mary. And Cheney says Hillary won't run. A Gresham woman is saved from a robber by her dog who pounces on the crook. A heartwarming dog story for us all. And Van Halen reunites with David Lee Roth for a summer tour.
Yeah, no one cares. All right, well, there you go. So we got that and so forth. You know, I don't know what it is, man. Why do I have to use the bathroom already? You know, I just...
Well, that's too many liquids, I would believe.
No, I don't understand this. What is this curious sensation?
Oh, have you been taking cough drops by any chance?
Oh, yeah. This is fantastic, by the way. We'll talk about that in a second. Before we do anything else, so we should... Because the people want to know. So we should talk about Sarah, who went on a date last night. Now, we don't...
I went on a dinner.
You went on a date. You acknowledged it was a date.
I went on a dinner date.
The only question...
You went to spend some time.
The only to make time. The only question was what the nature of the date. We acknowledged it was a date. We just didn't know what kind of date it was. Could have been a dinner date. Could have been
A friendship date.
Could have been one of those, it could have been any number of dates. So you went out with the guy last night, and we need a name to refer to him by. We will call him... Raul.
Okay, that's good.
So Sarah and Raul went out last night, and so would you like to rank the date now on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being the worst date of your life, 10 being fantastic bliss.
Hmm.
Is he listening?
I don't know.
Yeah. You can bet he is.
Find out. He'll lie. The thing is, he's going to lie, and he's going to say that he's not going to listen, and then he is.
It was pretty...
Well, they always do.
I would give it a pretty high ranking.
It is intense.
Hold me, kiss me. Never let me go.
I give it an 8.
An 8?
Yeah, it was a pretty good date.
An 8? Now, are you grading on a curve? I mean, in other words...
I'm grading because I was... You had
drunk.
Sufficiently freaked me out yesterday, so I was expecting the worst.
Well, see, that's the thing. So, we had primed the pump a little bit. As they say in the sales department, we had managed expectations. We had under-promised so that he could over-deliver. Because, you want to set it up as being like the best date in the history of the world, because then that's no good. So you and Raul, now where did he take you? Was it his choice or your choice where you went last night?
Well, we had talked about this restaurant, how I had said that I liked it, and he said, well, we should go there. So...
Sounds like a gentleman.
We went to the Italian joint.
Oh, on Hawthorne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm never
best
able to...
food ever.
Okay, screw that place though.
And I saw Greg there last night too. Greg's from 94.7.
Really?
Uh huh.
Can we call him and get his impressions of the date?
No, he had to leave because he had a party of 6 and they couldn't seat all of them, so he had to go somewhere else.
Him and his entourage. He was there with his many
bodyguards.
His many hangers on. Did he have like one guy that lights a cigarette, and another guy that hands him the cigarette, and another guy that puts a cloak around him? Here's your scepter, Greg.
Please autograph this napkin.
Will you play more Flock of
you
Seagulls?
You love him.
Anywho, so the Italian joint, though, is one of those places that I can never go to because it's like open Tuesday through Friday. Noon to 5:30 p.m. Open Sunday, 6 a.m. to 9, and then again for 5 minutes in the afternoon. They have no normal schedule that they're open, so I've never been able to go there. And what's her name? Delane. She was always going on about the Italian joint, but I've never been able to go there. So anyway, okay, so he takes you there. And then where?
And then we went out for a couple drinks to a bar.
Okay.
And then met up with some friends and went bowling.
Wow, that's weird. I thought you were going to go bowling.
Really?
And you hadn't even said it yet.
Now, was the bowling your choice or his choice?
It was mutual. We both had some friends that were going, and we figured might as well go.
You know,
were these the big balls or the small ones?
I used a 10-pound ball.
God, we're 5. We're 5 years old is what we are. All right, so kids are into bowling now, which is a thing that I... Because, you know, how Laura enrolled us in this... And I can say this because she's gone. This god-awful living hell, this torturous... It's like I'm being dipped in kerosene and set on fire every week that I got to go bowling with these... It has nothing to do with the other people as such. They could be any other people. It's just that I don't like leaving the house and doing things and all the stuff everybody knows about me. And yet I have to go and I have to have a wacky pirate name and I have to bowl and I have to do whatever. But all the other people who bowl, like we're the oldest people there. All the other people who bowl are like 25. And they're all 25 and they all look like Betty Page. And it's weird. It's like there's like some weird... What bowling alley was this?
I went to the one on Powell, like 33rd and Powell.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's right down, that one. That's right by my house. It's right by the check cashing place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, that's a bowling alley.
Yeah, I saw someone's windows smashed in there once.
it's atmosphere there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And so you were seeing that. Would you like to hear the email now from the person who saw you there?
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Where do we have? This is, I saw Sarah on her date last night. Rick, Sarah came into the Pro Bowl 300. Is that the name of the place?
I think so.
That sounds like serious bowling.
Seriously? Does he have his own ball?
No, he doesn't have his own ball.
Okay. Sarah came into the Pro Bowl 300 with Raul. He seems like a well-built man. Polite and friendly. Is he a well-built man? What celebrity does Raul most closely resemble?
I don't know. I don't want to give too much away.
Nobody will know.
Yes, they will.
Who's going to know?
People?
Okay, you're turning into Scotty right in front of me. No one's going to know. What is he? Is he an attractive man? Would you say he's a handsome man?
I think he's a handsome man.
All right. Just by looking at Sarah, says this email from someone who saw you on the date with Raul last night, it was very clear that she was, all caps, on a date. Her eyes were shiny in just the right way. I swear to God it says this. I'm not making anything up. You read it right off the screen. Her eyes were shiny in just the right way. She looked like she was having a great time. Apparently, Raul had taken her to a, quote, fancy restaurant, end quote, and is a great kisser.
Oh my God! I did not say that. It did not happen. I am a lady.
Why would you... Ladies don't kiss. Or defecate, ever. It doesn't happen. It's just small little pink cubes.
She would have had to remove her mixed stole. Had that been the kiss.
I have to leave now. I'm glistening. Will you adjust my bustle?
Just tell me that's false, the whole email.
No, why would this person...
That's only one.
I'm not even halfway through it. Why would this person claim that you said your date was a good kisser if you didn't say...
I don't know.
How much wine did you have at dinner? Were you intoxicated by the end of the evening? That's a yes. All right, apparently Raul had taken her to a fancy restaurant and is a great kisser. Let's see, Sarah asked me about...
We're just friends that happened to kiss.
All right.
It just happened.
Friends that happened to kiss.
She must have knocked all the pins at the bowling alley.
This person says, you might like to know that Raul is a redhead, a color choice that I...
A redhead?
This is what the emailer says, that to Sarah's date last night, Raul is a redhead, a color choice that I, the emailer, personally find very appealing. So there you go.
How drunk was this person? He's not redheaded.
I'm just saying, they apparently remember that you were kissing him, and you do not remember that, so...
I would not.
It's all relative, I think. I'm just saying. Scotty,
oh my God, there are eyes everywhere. Can I not go anywhere?
No, you can't. So, well, you said that was one of three listeners. You said you ran into three different listeners last night.
Yeah, I met a bunch of listeners.
Wow. And how did they were all like, Sarah Dillard? Is it across the bowling alley? Did he listen to yesterday's program?
No.
Your date? All right.
No.
And so did they, now when
That's what I said as we were driving to the restaurant. I'm like, so... Did it happen to listen?
No way to bring this up without being awkward. Did you listen to yesterday's? Now, when you ran into the listeners at the bowling alley, and I don't mean to disparage the listeners, oftentimes there can be those awkward moments when perhaps you are just you're trying to keep the evening a little low key, try to be a little mellow, and then across, and then a guy like lunges you and gives you a bear hug and wants to talk about some clown watch story that you had a few.
No, all the listeners I met last night were very nice.
Right,
and they didn't bring up the date, which is good.
Oh, did they stare at him? Did they give him the long look up and down to see if he was good?
No, we were
you?
With a group of people. That part wasn't even a date, it's just hanging out with people.
All right. So would you say that he is a good kisser though?
We should break. We're late.
Okay. It's 503. I haven't even gotten into this business about the laxative. Right here. 503-733-2970. And believe me when I assure you, it is sexy. It's 503-733-2970.
I hate my life.
Why should I be alone?
You're becoming the Paris Hilton of the East Side.
It's 503. You should just carry Scotty in a little bag with you everywhere you go. 503-733.
Well, now it's such a big deal out of this whole date. Now I sound all creepy.
No, you don't sound creepy at all.
Yeah.
You don't.
You should stop talking about it.
Some guys like that. They like women who are kind of creepy. They like...
I'm not.
They like, what was that guy? He wants a woman in spike heels who will jump up and down on his spine or whatever. That guy emailed you on MySpace.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. I will come back. Lisa Goddard around the corner. We'll get her thoughts on this. Later on, we have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Scotty J's Top 5, The Suburban Perspective, and more. Don't go anywhere. Back into this. Probably both. Hello. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Just a few minutes. Lisa Goddard will be joining us here to talk about... Well, I think it's... Is this Obama news today or is it...
John Kerry.
Oh, it's Kerry news. That's right. I knew it was some guy who was running or was going to run or is going to run. And then we'll ask him... We'll ask her who he is. And by he, I mean Representative Duncan Hunter. Who apparently... Make a formal announcement. Did we have this sound yesterday? I'm all marble mouth today. Duncan Hunter apparently is going to be running for president. I don't know who that is. I don't know where he's from. I don't know what he's done. It doesn't matter. We'll ask Lisa. As you can tell, I'm really invested in it emotionally. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard about that later on. At first, though, we should...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack!
Thank you.
Scotty J, hello, sir. How are you?
Great.
You're looking fantastic today.
I should be.
Looking as though
I
you're
got
full
plenty of rest.
Yeah.
Vim and vigor.
He's overcompensating. That's exactly what he's been doing all morning.
You're hungover. You are drunk.
No. If you're looking at me through hungover eyes, then I appear hungover.
If you're projecting.
Yes.
Scotty, I can always tell in the initial way that you come in if you're hungover or not.
Why?
Because sometimes you're like, good morning, or else you kind of stumble in dragging your little suitcase behind you.
Hiding.
Sometimes, well, and you have to...
booze.
People don't really understand this, that Scotty has, and I'm not exaggerating here, it is like a full-on Samsonite luggage set that you lug around. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying that when I say Samsonite, I'm not making a wacky Dennis Miller-like metaphor. It really is the full-on collapsible, expandable airport roll-it-through on your way to O'Hare luggage. Set. That's what you carry around with you.
I'm always on the go.
What could you? But you're not. My office is like 5 feet away. What do you have with you on a daily basis?
Well, see,
that requires you to have. You've seen the set of luggage.
Oh yeah, I see him pulling it in every morning.
It's not like a set,
but it's a big ass suitcase. Right. Why do you need a suitcase at work, Scotty? Is this... Oh, wait. It's all coming together for me now. Drinking.
Yeah, the nip bottle is in the back, right?
The pillow wall.
There are bottles in his luggage.
Oh, yeah, toothbrushes.
Maybe you should go through
his
luggage
right.
On the air.
I was just thinking that.
Go right ahead. No.
No, I was just thinking this all makes sense. Maybe there are no long cab rides back to Beaverton sometimes.
Just my bag.
Maybe it's just Scotty J curled up like a dead raccoon underneath my desk. Stall.
Oh, like he pretends to leave and wanders around downtown for a few hours.
Totally. I'm just gonna go home to the suburbs now. That's
gotta
what
pick
I'm
up
doing.
My kids.
There's a nice remodeled spot upstairs here.
I can't wait to go to the Olive Garden, and then you're just like Ben Stiller. You're just wandering around all night long, waiting for the office to empty out, and then you're like you're coming back down through like a ventilator grate and sleeping on my desk. What is in your suitcase?
The computer, headphones, gum, spare change.
Let's pick up one of these. Which of these things doesn't belong? So you're not hungover this morning?
No.
Because here's the thing, is that Sarah believes that you are, A, two things. A,
and now
overcompensating.
I've lost his trust.
She believes that you are, A, overcompensating this morning, that you are really hungover, and that you're trying to cover it up for by being really exuberant, ebullient on the air. And B, that ever since that she revealed that you were hungover that one time, that you no longer are honest about it. And if you are, in fact, hungover, you hide that secret from Sarah because you are afraid that she will tell me and I will then tell everyone.
I can't hide from the people.
No,
they can tell.
I'm just...
So the reality is this. If I am hungover today, I feel... I want to see what I look like when I...
Were you
really
drinking last night?
Not at all.
You had no alcohol last night? Zero.
Oh, you're such a liar. He's smiling.
True. I'm smiling because it's kind of comical that you're even asking me. And I don't smoke.
You don't... What? How can you lie like that?
See, he is a dishonest person.
I am
how
not.
Can the people
okay,
believe
I smoke.
Anything?
But I did not drink last night.
Okay, you're because... not allowed to weigh in on Bill Clinton doing anything
no,
ever
no,
again.
No, no, no. The deal
ever,
is this.
Ever again. You just sat there 10 seconds ago and said, and I don't smoke. And then I swear to Christ, like 4 seconds later, you said, and I smoke, but it just doesn't make any sense.
No, I said, okay, I smoke.
Okay. How often do you smoke?
Every day.
You need some shag that out of him. You should dump that.
Why do you feel bad about it? He already admitted that he smokes. Okay. What am I saying?
It's the constant trying to quit thing.
Yeah. But you're not trying to quit. You smoke every day. That's not trying anything. That's trying to smoke as much as possible. That's what that's doing.
Yeah, I can go the route that my cigarette smokes. I don't. But that's kind of stupid. So I'll just shut up.
Thank you. So have you tried to quit?
Many a time.
When is the past?
I made it a month before. I've made it
when
a year.
When is the last
before.
Time you tried to quit?
I quit after every time I go out and have a big night out. I usually quit for the next day and say, that's it.
So you quit for a day.
And I quit drinking and smoking the same day.
For a day.
Typically.
So really, let me understand this. So you will go out at night. You will be blind drunk. Smoke yourself into a stupor. Pay $150 for
or
a cab
more.
Ride home. And then you won't smoke until the next time you go out drinking, which is the next night.
No,
then you'll take a night off. That's the day you quit.
So yeah. You'll take a day of rest and recuperation,
right.
And then it all begins anew.
Yeah, because...
I don't think so. I think somebody needs to reassess his understanding of the word quit.
By the third day, you're feeling back to normal again. It's like, hey, I could actually go out tonight.
Okay.
That's great.
Right. All right.
And see, I never had this problem when I was in my 20s, like Sarah. You know, I could go bowling and I could karaoke it up and go to a Olive Garden and, you know, I
Scotty
could do it all.
Really live it up. You could really live the high life.
Scotty pulled me aside the other day and he's like, live your 20s. Enjoy your time. I didn't get it in my 20s.
Trapped in the crushing bosom of
I met my wife
bliss.
And that was it.
That was the end of that.
So,
all right, Scotty.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I feel great.
Okay.
Great day.
Uh-huh.
Rock and roll day.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have you back in later for the suburban perspective. And you're putting together your top five?
Yeah, it's done. I just need to put together a sheet that talks about why or who they are.
Okay. And Lisa should be calling us at some point.
Yeah,
I'll
give her a call.
Yeah, if you want to look into that, that would be fantastic. All right, there you go. Thank you, Scotty. There you go. Scotty J., ladies and gentlemen. I thought everybody knew that he smoked. I mean, look at that guy. Doesn't he look like a guy who smokes? I sort of thought it was just known. That's too late now. We have like that 2-minute delay, but that's elapsed. So I'm sorry about this, but is it that Mrs. J doesn't know?
I'm sure Mrs. J knows.
You can't hide that.
Scotty probably just doesn't want to tarnish his image.
With who? With whom is the image so golden that it can't be screwed with? Really, just quickly, speaking of last night, this is the last thing. I won't dwell on your date from last night. I do just want to talk about this thing that happened, though. So, and this ties in with the Taylor Swift story that I have to tell, and then we'll talk to Lisa Goddard. So, Taylor Swift, who is the girl who sings that Tim McGraw song that we played yesterday. So, blah, 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 blah. I told that story about how she was here about 6 weeks ago, and I thought it was Sarah in the bathroom and not, you know, like this 16-year-old blonde country star. And I'm outside like, come on, woman! You know, don't take all day! And just totally sounding, and then I thought it was Sarah. The door opens. Wah, wah, it's Taylor Swift. Hello. And she just looked at me like I was an axe murderer and so forth. Anyway, so she was back on the Couple Morning Show this morning, and they asked me to come in and tell the story to her. And I thought it was just going to be all... First of all, she's... I mean, how do I put this? How do I put this so that it doesn't sound like a...
That she looks like a drag queen?
See why? That's Sarah Dillon that said that. She looked better today. She didn't look... She looked not like that today. Not that.
She's a pretty girl. She's wore wig. Oh, my gosh.
Whoa, and... Is the power out where you are?
Let me...
Well, there's no way to tell because that's like 40 seconds. My computer just turned off and back on again. My sound just went off and back on again. I have no way of knowing if we're on the air.
Are we on the air?
Okay. Well, because everything, including my power, the audio in my headphones went off.
God, our delay is on forever.
Seriously, and the delay is like a week long. We say something and it hits the air like next Tuesday. So I have no way of knowing if we're actually on the air right now. So we are broadcasting now.
Okay,
we're back.
It sounds like
no. Okay, we're back.
Okay,
that made no sense to anybody who's listening. But for just to set up everything in the studio, all of the audio, everything just went off for a second.
That's kind of a scary feeling.
No, how shall I put this? Taylor Swift kind of looks like she kind of looks like this sort of blonde country sort of sort of android. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you were in a laboratory, if you were going to design, like, a young blonde country star, I mean, she's sort of off-puttingly beautiful. When I mean that in just sort of an aesthetic kind of way. Because she is 16, and it would be wrong for me to make any other kind of observation. I'm just saying, but it doesn't help also that she's, like, 6'5". I mean, you saw her, right? You saw how tall she is.
I didn't see her today. I saw her the last time.
John, the program director from KUPL, said that in just stocking feet, no shoes, she is 6 feet tall. And she was not wearing stocking feet today. She had, like stiletto boot things on. So in no shoes, flat on the feet on the floor, she is 6 feet tall. So
wow.
I would say she was probably 6'3" today. I mean, and again, very attractive,
I would have loved to see you all nervous in front of a 6'3", like, towering blonde country star that you just scared in the bathroom.
So I have to go in and tell the story on Couple this morning. And sometimes, you know, you think, like, you can tell those stories, or there can be a healing process where suddenly it's no longer awkward. Instead, it was just all kinds of more awkward.
Oh, really?
Well, and I'm telling the story, and
it's
back
of my... I can see if it's not going well, your face turning red. You
know, totally. I'm trying to be all smooth, but of course, the big challenge for me, as whenever I'm on a music station, is trying to keep it short, because of course they here everything takes 20 minutes to tell. There you got to get the story out in like 15 seconds as you're talking up a Daryl Worley song. So I'm trying to tell the story, and it's just kind of not going well. And her eyes kind of do that ever so slight narrowing thing, like she's trying to follow the thread, but she's not really sure who the strange beaky guy across from her is. She probably doesn't even remember me, quasi inadvertently stalking her in the bathroom. She has no recollection of this at all. I realize now Lisa Goddard is sitting on hold, hearing me talking about stalking, inadvertently, a 16-year-old country star. This is all kinds of layers of awkward.
Maybe we should bring her on.
Who?
Lisa Goddard.
Oh, okay, yeah, let's do that. Hello, and let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Probably no 16-year-old country music star.
It's all very awkward. I don't know if you ever heard the story. I won't rehash it yet again.
I feel like I got the gist.
Yeah. I thought Sarah was in the bathroom one day, and so we were doing... Sarah and I have this somewhat adversarial sort of juvenile sibling-like relationship. I thought it was Sarah, and so I'm hammering on the door, shouting at her to finish her business and get out of the bathroom so that other people can get in there. And then the door opens, and out walks this country star. It was all very awkward. And
is
then I...
Nameless? Have you not named her?
Her name is Taylor Swift. And if you're not a country music fan, you probably know who she is. But
I am familiar with Taylor Swift. I've got a sister and brother-in-law who are big country music fans.
Yeah, she sings that song, Tim McGraw. Great songs, very talented, blah, blah, blah. But I'm hammering on the door going, come on, you damn woman, finish up your business, thinking it's Sarah, and that it's all sort of blackly amusing. And then the door opens and out walks Taylor Swift, who is not Sarah. And it was all very awkward. So she, now 6 weeks later, she was back in our sister station's studios this morning for their morning show. And I think that they were afraid that she was walking around these last 6 weeks in her head, being afraid that it was somebody from that station that had done this to her. So they had me on the morning show to retell the story, and I think to clarify sort of passively that she's not really being stalked by somebody from the country station. It really was a wacky colleague that caused all the awkwardness that morning. Anyway,
okay.
And then it went all weirdly. So let's move forward, shall we?
There's no
non-awkward way to transition out of this. Let's move to more awkwardness, and by awkward, I mean John Kerry. Because John Kerry, and I said this yesterday, that we have to... we have to sort of, first of all, end this fiction that John Kerry suffered a bad defeat in 2004, because that's not really the case.
I mean, it was close. It was close. It wasn't as close as the closest election ever, but it was still pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you consider Ohio, it actually came down to something like 300,000 votes, if you're looking at Ohio as being the key state there, that I think 300,000 in the Kerry column would have put him in the White House and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. That being said... is the whole reason that he dropped out of this just because of that bad joke a few months back? I mean, it seemed like he was bound and determined to get into it, and then he sticks his foot in his mouth a few weeks back, and now he's gone. And I mean, this is the era of the soundbite and the undoing of your career by same. So.
I don't know. I think he was just choosing his own coffin when he gave those words. I think the joke was, I don't know. I think it just helped him along. It's possible he would have stated. It's possible he would have launched a campaign without that. But I don't know. I think it's also very possible he wouldn't have. I think most of his advisors were saying, just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't embarrass yourself. It's not going to look good. Don't do it.
Are we, has politics changed in the sense that, because it used to be, and Nixon is a great example of this, you know, you would go out there and you would just get your head handed to you time and time again, but you just sort of kept on coming back. And that was kind of what people appreciated about Nixon in a weird sense. You know, the cretinous goon though he was, people sort of, I think in a way, admired the fact that the guy just took a licking and kept on coming back. But now it seems like you lose and there's a big stamp across your forehead that says, I am incompetent. And that just sort of taints you, it seems like.
You know, I don't know. I think you're right that politics has definitely changed. I think the rules are changing. I think one of the rules that's changed is, you know, apologize first and try and get votes later. You know, but that doesn't always apply either. But you heard the president recently trying to apologize for more and more and hoping that he can regain some trust with the American people. That's sort of the Bill Clinton rule. When you're caught, apologize, and maybe it'll all become good. But, yeah, maybe. You may be right.
I think the media works so quickly to label people now. I mean, and I hate to sound like
that's
one
true.
Of...
That's true.
I don't want to sound like one of those guys go, well, it was better back in the 40s. And the media, I mean, not like I'm blaming the media for everything because I'm part of the media and whatever. And I don't want to sound like some guy pining for some golden age of politics that never really existed, but it does.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, politics has been brutal in this country since the very start. You know, it certainly, you know, we're not back at the late 19th century when it was just vicious.
It does.
And journalism were crazy then. I don't know. It's tough to say. I don't know.
It does seem like the tendency now in politics is to boil everybody down to a one sentence description, but the dissemination ability of the media now is such that you can tag somebody with that, and then, like Kerry himself with the flip-flop thing, which he immediately got hit with. And that overnight, you know, there was, like on Monday, no one had heard the term John Kerry flip-flop, but on Tuesday, everybody in the country knew it. So it just seems
maybe just the medium is different. I don't know. I don't want to burst your bubble. I think you got a point there, but I don't know. I'm thinking that it used to be that the cartoons, the caricatures, and the paper used to do that for you.
I suppose.
You know, in the olden days, when I was growing up.
Yes.
Whatever. That was an attempt at changing it. I was trying to be funny. But you know, I don't know. I think that media is always... I think we've always tried to simplify these guys, and they've always tried to simplify themselves, oversimplify themselves as well, and try and dumb themselves down. So I think you can point a lot of fingers.
We've got also today that the Representative Duncan Hunter makes a formal announcement of his candidacy, and I think I speak for all America when I say that I don't know who he is and I've never heard of him before.
Well, he's from your part of the country. He's from California.
And California, we try not to pay attention to California, except for Jim Roop.
You ignore. Right, exactly. There's Jim Roop, for crying out loud.
No, that's it. He is sort of the thing is, though, he covers California so we don't have to. That's
that
sort of the
true.
Thing.
And he also stays there so you don't have to go there.
That's what I'm saying. So who, let's just get to the bottom of the page. This is no one I have to worry about because he's not going to end up running for real, is he?
I'd be surprised if he goes too far. You know, you don't know right now. Anything could happen. He is certainly trying to build some support among some specific causes, especially immigration. He's got some ads out right now in Iowa and South Carolina talking about the need for a border fence. I think so there's some other fiscal issues that he's really pounding away at. I think he's really trying to get the conservative vote. And in that way, he is very important. He's a very important man on the Hill, important committee chairman when the Republicans were in power, now a ranking member. He's an interesting guy to watch. You can't rule him out right now.
Do you have to be, I'm not going to interrupt, but I mean, do you have to be a millionaire to run for president? And the only reason I ask is, because it seems like all these guys, like this guy, for example, Duncan Hunter, I mean, it seems like, not that, you know, like I'm some pundit bot 5,000 that knows everything, but it does seem likely that statistically speaking, this guy's not going to win anything, and so he's either running just out of delusion or vanity, or he's running now because he thinks maybe then he can run in 2012, 2016. So it seems like this multi-stage, multi-tiered thing. I mean, don't these guys end up going to the debt? I mean, you hear about people. I mean, I think it might have even been Joe Lieberman that had to like sell off his house or something in the last election. I mean, I don't understand where the money comes from for this if you're not a big name guy.
Yeah, well, John Kerry mortgaged his house. I think he got another mortgage on one of his houses anyway in the last election.
Well, and that guy's, you know, and his wife has got like $9 skillion, doesn't she?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know how those campaign rules work. I mean, I think she is limited. She's limited in how much she personally, from her personal accounts that are not joint accounts, how much she can give to the campaign. But he is not. I mean, of course, they have joint accounts, so you can, you know, it's probably easy to mess with. So that's tricky. But I think you're right. I think if you are not rich, if you're just an average guy on the street, it is very hard to run for president. But then the way the system is built right now is by the time you get to that level where you may be considering running for president, you've already made enough friends by and large. You've already made enough contacts. You've been maybe a big, powerful lawyer, or you've gotten some good tips on some investment deals. Most of these guys have made some money for themselves by the time. I mean, Bill Clinton was not rich, you know, when he first ran for office, but he learned how to make some money, and he and his wife, both lawyers, of course, did make plenty of money. So it's tricky. I don't know. That's a chicken and egg to me, but I think you're right. Money is a huge factor. I really want to find out how much is Barack Obama worth. I don't know the answer to that question. How much are all these guys worth? I don't know. Sam Brownback of Kansas, is he a rich guy? I don't know.
All right, and the final observation is there was this note that the Senate committee, they were attempting to, well, there was this non-binding resolution where they wanted to oppose the move to send this 21,000 additional troops and so forth. But I was to understand, I thought that when Bush talked about, well, we've got this fantastic new groundbreaking idea, we're going to send more troops into harm's way, I was to understand that that was already happening. Like the time frame was effectively, it was like a week later or something it was supposed to happen. So are those guys already there, or are they en route, those new troops, or are they already headed that way?
The first troops from Kuwait, I believe, either are headed or they have already gotten into position.
Why are we still protecting in Kuwait?
You know, we're not. It's really a staging ground. It's really just a staging ground for our troops going to Iraq.
Oh, I see. So it's just sort of a hangout there because you'll inevitably need it for something.
Right. Just, you know, it's really, you know, back behind the batting cage, getting ready.
It's the on-deck circle.
It's exactly.
All right. Fantastic. Excellent. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, we will speak to you undoubtedly in the very near future. Enjoy your Washington afternoon, Lisa.
Oh, I will try.
All right. There you go. Fantastic. There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Let's make a little note to me. That I should never tell that Taylor Swift story again because
it just
sounds creepy.
It does, and I think that I think that Lisa was a little creeped out.
Well, no, it's just that it sounds so bizarre.
And it's weird. You've told it like a billion times. Every time you say it, it makes you sound creepier and creepier.
I thought it was you that I was stalking in the bathroom. Hello. I don't know who this is. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is that? Well, we had the system crash. Everything. What was the hell was that, by the way, where everything went off the air?
The EAS system. The battery died.
You know, for a minute, I swear to God, I thought it was me pounding on the counter, simulating the pounding on the door when Taylor Swift is using the bathroom. There I am, doing it again. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Yeah, hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Am I actually on right now?
Yes. Yes, you are, sir.
Oh, okay. Sorry. This is Dan in Portland, and I've really been enjoying your show lately, by the way.
Thank you, Dan.
Yes, sir. I have kind of a topic of conversation regarding Barack Obama, and this first came up when Kucinich was running in the last election, I have this theory that somebody with certain types of names cannot be elected.
Oh, like Mike Huckabee from Arkansas.
Exactly.
That guy will never be president.
Name. It's not an American name, and
not,
I think that
on American name
alone.
What's
good
not
candidates well, may get passed up?
Hold on,
because they don't sound American.
Oh no, let's back up. All right. Yes. So when you say it's not, what name are you talking about?
Obama. Well, it first came up with Kucinich. The name to me, Dennis Kucinich, it's not a strong sounding name, and people that don't educate themselves about politics and vote on instinct might pass it up.
Well, that's no, linguistically speaking, you're entirely accurate. The Kucinich is not, as I said, like with Huckabee, which just makes you sound like an inbred hick. No, it's true. Kucinich, not a strong name. And you're talking about Barack Obama?
Oh, man.
I disagree.
Barack Hussein Obama.
I disagree. Well, the Hussein thing is a little bit of a wild card. But the Barack Obama, I disagree that Barack Obama is not a strong-sounding name. It's two syllables, and it's got, especially Barack, has got a K sound in it. And
right.
K sounds, especially if you can end a word with a K sound, those are, they're very aggressive-sounding names. I disagree that it's not a strong-sounding name.
Okay, you may be right on the strong-sounding, but what about the pure ethnicity of the name? Do you think enough Americans are willing to take a chance and back that up?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on what you mean by America. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're surrounded by people in this country that have names that aren't Smith and Jones. So, I mean,
this is true.
I mean, we got lots of
melting pot.
What's that?
It's a great melting pot.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, you got a name like Giuliani, which doesn't sound like it's from Kansas any more than Obama does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it ends in a vowel, but so does every name that's from Italy. So.
All right.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing that names play a important part in this. I think, though, that Barack Obama is an aggressive, strong, masculine-sounding name.
But okay. I'm kind of with him. I mean, I think that a lot of the American public isn't so bright, and if they think, you know, if they see President Obama.
Yeah, but they don't. But the guys who are not going to vote for him because his name is Barack Obama don't need that reason because those guys are idiots and they're. Those are the same guys
that are going to vote Republican.
Well, those are the guys who are already not going to vote for him because he's black, I guess is my point. Like, those guys don't need. If that's how people make decisions, those people, I mean, you're already kind of a nitwit if you're in that camp to begin with, if that's how you're voting, and therefore you probably have already decided not to vote for him because he doesn't look like you. So, not that you. I'm not saying that's your opinion, but I'm saying. I'm saying that that's, you know, that's kind of the deal with those guys. Those guys have already made up their minds, you know what I mean?
All right, well, just something to throw out on the table.
All right, thank
you. And I hadn't heard anybody really talk about that, so.
Right, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Enjoy the day.
Thank you. That's Dan. We should break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Later on, we have the top five from Scotty J. We have Jim Roop coming up and Tim Riley around the corner. Don't go anywhere.